And with that, Donica Hudson will come up and begin the inner healing.
Greetings tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is a blessing to be here. It is a divine appointment. I'm here because of you, because God said to come. If you came expecting anything from God, you will have it. Because that is faith, okay? God is here to meet your needs. And if you're not sure why you're here, you'll know by the end of the seminar tomorrow afternoon. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And every one of you are on his mind and heart. So be encouraged. I'd like the team to come up. I'm going to quickly introduce you. And honey, would you bring the pages so that you can play a little in the background? I want you to know who everybody is. I've been working with this team for years. We know each other. The Holy Spirit speaks when we pray together. That is why there's so much power in the agreement. You know, there's multiplied power in agreement, not just additional, multiplied. Two can put 1,000 to flight. I mean, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Okay, my husband, Todd Hudson. And I couldn't do anything without my husband. He undergirds, he is called himself. But there are times when he will step aside and say, honey, it's your turn. And because of him, I'm able to do what God's called me to do. And I don't take that lightly. He's a man after God's own heart. Phil and Karen Scholler have been with me for years and years. When our ministry first started out, the Lord gave us the name in prayer. It was called Jehovah Shammah. And at the same time that our ministry was born, my daughter, Salem Shalom, was born. Okay, so God has always said to look at, hold your ministry is look at your daughter. She's 5 years old now. And it's neat how it's kind of prophetic. The Lord wants you to know he is present. The Lord is present, Jehovah Shammah, and he wants to bring peace, shalom, to your hearts tonight. Okay, and this lady and this little blonde over here in the red were at the prayer meetings when God began to speak this about Jehovah Shammah, what he meant to be. So in his presence global. Is so you'll understand God's present to meet your needs. Phil and Karen have a ministry called Life Transformation Ministries. They're certified counselors, and they know how to move in deliverance. They've counseled, I don't know, hundreds of people and couples, and you will see the power resident in them. They are a team. God has put them together, and they move very forcefully. So you'll know if God speaks to your heart at a certain time in the seminar for their prayer, you'll know why. Antoinette Caldwell, dear friend of mine, intercessor, very prophetic. Antoinette is a human resources director, and she's also a dear personal friend, and everybody is on the board. Christy Legg is the vice president of the iLife Network. It's Inspiration Network's only digital network, and she runs that entire network. But she's also very strong in the Lord in deliverance, prophecy, and a very close and dependable friend as well. Janice Vincent. Janice, God brought to me recently in a neat, in a really different way in an auto accident, but God hooked us up. And just as she was a protectorate for me there, God has brought her to be an armor bearer and a trustworthy one. She's an intercessor, and she was in 21 days of fasting and prayer when I met her at that auto accident. So God knows, and I had been asking the Lord, what am I going to do? I need help when we do this. And then she called me and said, do you need somebody to help? So this team God put together, they all came because God spoke to their hearts to come. They're not here out of obligation. It's because some of you have divine appointments with them, and God will minister to you through them. And they're all going to speak later. So thank you very much for coming up. I love you all. She confirms it. Oh, just play, honey, just play something lightly as we get started. I want to just, Todd's like David, and when he plays, the Spirit of God just comes, and it can deliver from that vexing spirit that Saul had, you know? So you can hear and receive, and your spirit can take in all that God wants us to receive tonight. So just play lightly, honey, as we get started. Lord, I just want to thank you, Father God, first of all, for Pastor Ron and Pastor Donna. Lord, I thank you for their hearts. Lord, you have shown me that they are true ambassadors of you, that you have sent them to this place for such a time as this, that they are a safe haven for the people, that they are shepherds that can be trusted. God, I bless them. I ask you to cause gratitude and love to abide and abound in the hearts of the sheep in this church, that they would revere and honor their leaders, knowing that these leaders toil night and day, that you often awaken them with prayers for their people. Lord God, that they do not get the normal lives of the sheep, because they are called to a greater accountability and responsibility, but they don't take that lightly. God, I thank you that the reason this seminar is happening is because they love your people and they desire to see your people healed up, cleaned up, full of joy, sealed, filled, delivered, and ready to take on the world and possess the land. And Father, I thank you have anointed this church to possess the land, that this church is going to be one of the forerunner churches in this area to possess the land, to drive out the ites, the enemy of God, first in individual hearts and then in this region. Father, I thank you that you are amassing your team, that you are building it, that you are setting the leadership in right order, that there is an understanding of spiritual authority that will abound in this place. Lord, I thank you that this place will not be the same after you have visited with the fullness of your presence. I ask you, God, bless from the head down to the toes this body here at Cliffview Church of God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And that includes you if you're a visitor, because you are part of the body of Christ. We are all parts of the body. Wherever you see a Christian, if it's on the other side of the globe, they're part of your body. I don't care what color you are, what age, what gender. We are all family. And that's how we need to treat each other, with that kind of love and respect. I want to thank you personally, Pastor Ron. Thank you for having me. I know that God has a word for your people and that many are going to be touched because of your heart for them. That's what's opened the door, is your heart for them. And Pastor Donna as well. There she is. Thank you, woman of God. God bless you. Okay. If y'all would start to hand out the booklets. If you're a couple, do we have enough? Let's see. How many people you think we have here, Pastor Ron? Okay, if you're a couple, just take one book, please. Okay? This is our workbook for the weekend. And you got holy homework. Everybody hates homework, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get out of this conference what you put into it. And you'll notice that there's a worksheet in there. As you familiarize yourself with the workbooks, there's a worksheet in there that you need to work on and pray through and think about, because what God's going to do is he's going to stir up your heart and your mind to understand certain things you've been battling. And behind every battle is a lie. It started in the garden. And when you discover the lie and replace it with the word of God, your victory is won. You go from victim mentality into victory. And the enemy cannot return because you have possessed your land in your own heart. Okay? That's what this whole workshop is designed to do. Because one thing I've noticed, I can cast out a demon. You can cast out a demon if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you believe the word of God to do it. That's not the ultimate thing. The ultimate is to understand that the battle's already won by the Lord. And when you believe the word of God, you can hold on to that victory. The enemy cannot come back into the land of your heart. And that's why so many people get confused. They might believe the word concerning faith and that the prayer of faith that heals the sick. But if you got unforgiveness, the prayer of faith doesn't work. We have to deal with the heart, the root issues. Okay? Then, when we come to the altar, having put down the unforgiveness, having put down the abuse, having put down every person who formerly held us captive, or every generational ancestor that opened the door for it, and forgiveness, renunciation, and proclamation, then there's true liberty. And the enemy cannot return, and the prayer of faith has fertile ground. And everything that your elders touch and agree on will be manifested in your body and in your life because it's good ground. It's possessable ground. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. Now, if you turn to page 7, what I'm going to do, there's 3 sessions. Tonight is teaching number 1. You'll notice the blue headers. If you thumb through, there's teaching number 2. That's Saturday morning. And teaching number 3 is Saturday afternoon. We're going to talk about 7 ways to recognize a forerunner in all 3 teachings. We'll go through the first 3 tonight. Then we're going to go into working on the heart issues. Now, the reason I combine these is because there's a correlation. God sends forerunners into any city or land about to experience revival. That's why we're here. Your pastors have been preparing this church for revival. When I prayed, all I could see was thick, rich, toiled soil. Thick, black, dark, full of nutrients, good ground. I mean, it wasn't hard anywhere. You picked it up and it fell through your hands, but it was moist with the water of the word. You've been well watered. Your soil is right. It is ripe to receive the engrafted word of God. And when you grab hold of some of the truths that are going to come forth, not only through this teaching and what we have to share, but through your time with the Lord. God's going to be speaking to you tonight. So take these booklets home and open it up on the heart page. It's a couple pages back in this teaching, a big old heart, and write it down. Do not ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit that dwells richly in you, because he will lead you into all truth. Okay. You know, if you're not healed up, no place will be a safe place for you. Not this church, not even your own home. Okay? That's why we all have to do spiritual checkups. And that's what this is about. Some of us have become ill in our bodies because we haven't discerned the body of the Lord rightly. What do I mean by that? When we take communion, that's where that scripture is. It's about communion. We haven't discerned and understood what happened with Jesus on the cross. That when the blood was shed, it was for the cleansing and atonement for our sins. When his body was broken, the curse was broken, and all the Israelites in the old covenant were healed. Healed, okay? Because they discerned, they could see it. Now we have to understand and discern. Every battle we're facing, every generational curse is broken by the broken body of Jesus. But we must go in and possess the land. Okay, the Lord has always likened revival to me with possessing the land. I preached on it. He said, go in, we're going to possess the land. And he would show me twin cities that were going to experience revival first. And I about fell out of the chair when Mike was talking tonight at dinner and said, twin counties, is that what you said, or twin? Twin count. I said, say that again. Did you say twin counties? Because I wrote this word in my journal. God said twin cities, and he started having me list twin. He said, I'm going to visit. You know, we sent the disciples out into the cities 2 by 2. He is visiting twin counties, twin cities, twin lands. We were praying at a house where 2 rivers become 1. That's covenant. The house of covenant, the car household. You wonder why the presence of God is there. Did you know, and this is interesting, I interviewed a guy a week before we went to Mike and Deborah's house to pray over this region in the land of the church. And Karen and I were on the deck praying and kept looking and going, there's something significant about these 2 rivers that are joining together to be 1 right here. But we didn't understand it. Well, the guy that I was interviewing is Dr. Nigel Bigpond, who is a full-blooded UT Indian in Oklahoma. He is an apostle and a prophet, and he owns a Native American spiritual warfare training center. And he came to Charlotte, And they contacted me, said, would you interview him? He's got a word about the land and the healing of the land, and he's working on a national resolution. Well, the name of his ministry is Two Rivers. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, Two Rivers? And so when he got there, the first thing I said, tell me about this Two Rivers. He said the place of covenant for the Indians was always where two rivers became one. I said, really? He said, oh, yes. Two rivers become one. That's a place of covenant. He said, when a warrior came back, and if there was any fear on him, fear was not tolerated in Indian war camps. You know, it's not tolerated in the Word of God either. It's named there with all the sins that'll send you to hell. Fear is. And yet, how is it that, you know, there's times I just tolerate fear in my life instead of kicking it out of the land? That's what we're here to do tonight. We're going to possess the places where fear has reigned in your hearts because it's sin. It's not trusting God. Anyway, he said an Indian would have to go down to the place where the two rivers became one, and they would have to meet with God. And the Lord would have to heal them up. And they were not allowed to come back into the camp until God had healed them up. Now, granted, I'm sure when they started this tradition, they probably weren't Christians. A lot of them have become born again because Jamestown here in Virginia was the first settlement of the English settlers, with the purpose of bringing the gospel here. Not that everything was done appropriately. As we all know, the Trail of Tears wouldn't exist. But what the point is that God recognizes, the one true God, Jehovah, Yahweh, recognizes altars. All throughout the Bible, altars are a place to recognize when covenant was made between the people, and it was a place recognized in the land. Okay? That's what God's doing here. He's saying, I'm taking back the altars of Baal. It may have been a pagan altar before, but it's not now, because who owns the land there? Who owns it now? That's right. God is calling us to possess the land, and it has to start with our personal hearts. And then God has given the region unto you for being obedient, okay? All right. There's three things that the Lord told me in prayer to tell you. He said, tell them I love them. You're not going to receive much unless you know God loves you, because you'll never feel worthy enough. He says, I love them with an unquenchable, unstoppable, never-ending love that is even greater than the love they have for their own children. That's deep. Number two, I have put actions in motion to secure their success if they will yield to me. Number three, my perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of giving and receiving love. Fear of rejection. Fear of submission. Fear of authority. Fear of pain or heartache. Fear of abuse. Just plain old fear. Whatever your traumatic situation was, whatever the burden of the past, if there's a fear with it, it's going to be gone if you will yield to the Holy Spirit. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God uses ordinary people, fully consecrated to him, to do extraordinary things. That's me. I'm his ordinary mom, two kids, great husband. But you know what? I want to do everything God called me to do. Nothing more and nothing less. I don't want to get too busy trying to do for him that I can't be with him. And I don't want to not do everything he has predestined for me to do. Don't want to go to heaven, stand before my God, and he say, remember that man that you saw at the cleaners that you were supposed to pray for? Remember your grandmother? Remember your mother when she was sick? And I wanted you just go by and give a word. Simple stuff. We are going to have our ears opened tonight to hear the Holy Spirit and to walk obediently. We're putting down our own wills. If you're with me, stand up on that. I'm going to put down my own will. Stand up with me. Let's make a declaration right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say it after me. In the name of Jesus, I put down my will. I surrender my heart to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to rule and reign on the throne of my heart. I thank you that you will give me divine revelation, insight to the truths of your word. concerning my heart and my healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now listen, that's important. You can be seated. That's important that we voice these things. We can't get saved without using our voice. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. It works the same way. That is a spiritual principle. It works the same way when you're receiving anything of God, any word of His. You must confess with your mouth the word of God and believe it. Now, I'm not saying you got to talk yourself into believing it. No, that's not what the Bible says. Don't put your mouth before your heart. Believe in your heart. It has to go with it, or you're going to be conflicted in your mind, and that will cause insanity. How many times do we see people dying confessing the truth? We have to get it right in our hearts first. That's what this seminar is about. Okay? I'm all for confessing the Word of God, but it must be done with a heart that believes the Word of God. Otherwise, you could say you're saved and be living like the devil. Okay? Y'all get my point here? What this whole seminar is about is our hearts. That is the seat of God. It's where He now dwells, no longer in the tent, but in us. And He needs to possess every part of us, and we want Him to. Let me tell you, there's things I'm still believing Him for. Sometimes the enemy will try and crop back up. Before I come to a conference, I'll deal with a host of stuff, because some of y'all are going to get set free from the things I dealt with this week. That's how it works with me. Some of you have been dealing with mental illness, depression, bipolar. God is about to set you free. God does not want His people or His bride to be spotted and blemished, unhappy, depressed, and not full of the joy of the Holy Ghost. That's plain as day in His Word. But we must do a spiritual checkup on our hearts. So I encourage you, when you go home tonight, I know we're not getting out of here until maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock, but take the time to seek Him and write down some things, okay? Even while you sleep, He may give it to you in your sleep. You wake up, write it down, okay? These are lies that can go way back. Sometimes it's a process you have to repeat, so keep your workbook. There's a second page at the very back of another heart worksheet that you can fill more stuff out, because you might have to fill out the back, front, back, and another front and back. I did. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't realize that I took in as truth, and it was just slightly different. Isn't that the way that Satan tried to tempt Jesus? A little bit of truth. Mm-mm. Okay. Now, let's talk about the forerunners, and then we're going to bring that in to where we are as a body. First of all, the purpose of forerunners is to bring the Word of God, okay? So they're going to boldly speak by the Holy Spirit. They're going to bring God's will to pass in a land. They're going to come in and agree with the body of Christ there. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But if I say, I will not mention Him or speak anymore in His name, His Word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You know how that feels, don't you, Pastor? When the Word of God is in your heart, when the Holy Spirit is in you and on you, you can't not say what He has put you on the earth to say and declare. And every one of us, from time to time, experience that. If you have the Holy Ghost, you need to understand it and recognize it and know how to move with the Holy Ghost. That's when it gets real good. And it's like a kid at Christmas. And you see yourself doing things you never thought you would. It might start in the grocery store. And God says, that lady's hurting over there. Just go over there and just tell her I love her. And you're like, I don't know her from Adam. Tell her you love her. She might be a Jewish person. She might be an atheist. So what? What do you got to lose? That's pride stopping you. I tell you, obey. The greatest things happen when you obey. You boldly speak. Ask God for that boldness. It comes with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and He will give it to you. And by the way, here Jeremiah says that he speaks in the name of Jesus. We're not going in our own authority. We're going in the authority of Jesus, who's conquered all of hell. John the Baptist came filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of the God of Israel, preparing the way for Messiah. Full of the Holy Spirit. Think he was bold? Some of us don't want to ask for that, do we? That's a little bit too much, but I tell you what, Brother Mike's doing all right with it. eat that locust, brother. Okay, number two. Forerunners are products of intercession. They live by intercession, and they were born of intercession. Mark 2, verse 1 through 5, the men were asking Jesus to heal the paralytic, and Jesus forgave their sin. That's intercession for healing. John the Baptist, Luke 1, 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Zechariah was interceding. He's the product. So who's the product of intercession? John the Baptist. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Forerunners do what God tells them to do, and often God gives them a different result as a result of their obedience than they thought. I mean, I'm sure John didn't think he was going to be beheaded. But that's all right. Look where he is now. Hannah's prayer was heard when she conceived Samuel. Billy Graham was raised up as a product of intercession. There was intercession that happened on farmland in Charlotte, where we live. They prayed and prayed and asked God to raise up somebody to bring salvation. And look what God did. Number three, forerunners are ridiculed and made of no reputation. No glory in that. That's the truth. I tell you, John the Baptist, he looked crazy. He was dressed in camel's hair and he ate locusts and wild honey in the wilderness. That's Matthew 3, 4. Jeremiah says, "I'm ridiculed all day long." Doesn't sound very glamorous. Everyone mocks me. Verse 8. "Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." Where do we get this idea that it was all glamour? That we weren't going to be made of no reputation? That we really wouldn't have our character assassinated? I have. But that's okay, because what was produced is so much more pure. You know, it's a love for God and his people. There's nothing in it for me. You know, this week at the Christian Chamber, I had to introduce our speaker, and she talked about three positions with God that are a progression of maturity. And the first one is just being amazed with him. And the second one is saying, "God, use me, use me, use me." And the third one is the real place of maturity. And it's just not about being used anymore. It's, "You love me. You really love me." Now, we're looking at our hearts, and we're asking God to reveal things to us. And the root of it is, does God really love us? Do you really know that God has an unconditional love for you? Okay? Because if that's not the foundation of our hearts, of our churches, you know, we will never be able to accomplish the will of God. Not in our own personal lives, not in the life of the body, and not in the life of the region, not in the life of the nation. We'll try and do it in our own strength. And we know that there's a curse placed on those who have trusted in the arm of flesh and relied on it rather than trusting in the Lord, Jeremiah 17:5. Okay? David Wilkerson is a modern-day example of a forerunner who was made of no reputation. He wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, and he was made to look like a crazy Bible-thumping preacher because he was arrested and had his picture plastered on the front page of the paper and had to go to court. And what the enemy meant for evil, God turned and used for good. So he looked crazy to the body of Christ and those who want to judge him that way. But the gangs said, "Oh, he's one of us now." Do you know, because of that, because God allowed the enemy to smear his reputation, he was able to get in to some of the major gangs in New York, get these people saved, and has now founded an institution that has helped thousands and thousands of people get off of drugs. Because, you know, the gangs and the, yeah, it's Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge. So a lot of times when you're doing what God called you to do, you're going to be made to look like an impotent fool. But God knows what he's doing. And if you can trust him through the heartache, if you can trust him through the pain, he will bring you through to the truth. And you will reap a much greater harvest than if you had gone the easy route and disobeyed him. A lot of you here right now, you've been damaged. You've really been hurt. Your hearts have been torn. But I'm here to tell you, God is here to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. He's not going to leave you bereft. He's going to meet your needs. Just trust in him, okay? Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. The Lord was revealing to me today about that Pharisaic spirit that wanted to kill the prophets, the real prophets. And he spoke to me and he said, you know, Donica, they had demons of intellectuality. I was like, oh, you're right. If you've ever encountered that, somebody who refuses to believe in their heart the word of God and will only allow it into their mind. See, faith is not what we see. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we say we're only going to believe in what we can see, well, we can't even see God or Jesus. That's not faith. So the Lord was saying to me, if you don't learn to trust him, if you don't learn how to put down trying to reason out the Bible cerebrally, and when you let your mind rule over your spirit man, you've lost the battle, because the spirit is the only way you can perceive the word of God. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you gives you the understanding. The word of God, you know the word pneumonia, new meaning breathed, that's what this word is called, is spirit breathed. Impossible to understand without the Holy Spirit in you, breathing it into you. It's called the living word. And so for us to fully receive all of the living word, we must allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes of understanding. You know that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord? That song? That's what that means. Your heart has to receive these things. Some of us have been hurt so badly, we don't want our heart touched, looked at. We don't want to look at anything. We just want to protect it, keep our guard up, and say, okay, I'm going to attend church, and I'll do what I want. And if I don't feel like this, I won't do that. And I'm not going to get hurt. I've already been that route. I've been beaten up spiritually. Mm-mm. And you'll come, and you'll listen, and you'll do it all in your mind. And your heart is far from it. And listen, I've been there. I'm not trying to judge you. I've been there because I've been hurt so bad, where I thought I could not set my foot in another church. But God had people waiting in the wings. Karen and Phil were some of them. To bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Because when you do deliverance, I didn't ask for it. When I preach, people manifest. Am I supposed to leave the demon in them? Or do what the Bible says and carry out the Great Commission. And when you do that, you're going to encounter some flack. The Bible, I just read to you a bunch of scriptures that say you're ridiculed for it. Your reputation's going to be suffering for it. But the Lord wants you to know, whatever your crisis of belief has been, whatever your trauma has been, he's already made a way of escape. He's got people waiting in the wings who will take you to the right place, where you're safe and the full gospel is preached and you can get healed up and ready to serve the Lord again. He don't want you to stay like the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, stubborn, hard of hearts, not trusting God. You'll be running in circles the rest of your life, and the very pattern you're trying to get healed up from now, you'll be running in that same circle again in another 5 years. If you don't, say, God, I don't know what else to do but to let you do surgery on my heart. I will trust you. I may not be able to trust another man on this earth or another woman, but I will trust you. You have never let me down. Your word does not return void. It is true. It will accomplish what you have purposed. If you can believe that, then you can have your healing, and you can break the pattern of the past, and you can come out of the wilderness and go in and possess the land. Okay? God wants you to possess the land. He wants you to have it, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. There are an abundance of blessings listed here in Deuteronomy, but we settle for just a few sometimes because we're familiar with things the way they've been done. Well, that's not how mama did it. That's not how daddy did it. And you know what? We don't even recognize that it's bringing pain and grief in our lives. What God's going to do is shine the light. And we're going to be able to tweak a few things. And not with any kind of disdain for our ancestors, but knowing that, hey, we're getting to break this cycle, and our children and our children's children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren are going to reap the benefits of the revelation that God is going to give us. Jesus made himself of no reputation to become our Savior. He had no place to rest his head. Your ridicule may have started before you were even born, like John the Baptist. The enemy could have had it out for you because of the call upon your life. There are many gifts in here. Some of them are latent, but that's okay. Your healing is here. You'll be able to use them, and you won't be afraid. Maybe you've suffered abuse, abandonment, trauma, broken relationships, insult, the death of a good name or reputation, etc. You fill in the blank. Completing your earthly assignment requires you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you are hurting so bad you don't care about assignments. You're like, just get me through to the next day. And some of you are saying, I don't know why I can't seem to get to fulfill my assignment. It's like there's some glass ceiling I'm hitting. God's going to minister to all of us. What lies have you believed about yourself that have blocked your breakthrough? It's subtle. We don't really know. Or we'd have already corrected it, wouldn't we? But there's a lie behind every trauma, behind everything that we've allowed to stay in us as a thorn. I want you to turn to your heart tablet. It's the page that... the next page, page 8. This is it right here. This is our heart homework holy assignment. You can't go with God and stay the way you are. Okay? That's why we got to do this. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, that doesn't say with intellectuality. As a man thinks in his head, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Who do you know that you are in the core? What dreams did you have as a child that you put down? Do you think God was just tempting you, cheating you out? I don't think so. He's not an Indian giver. He's not. He's faithful. He's faithful. And you may find even dreams that you had in your BC days, God will fulfill in your AD days. He died to. Isn't that cool? To empower you to do it for him. See, back in my BC days when I didn't know Jesus from Adam and would get down on my knees at Wake Forest, a little drunk from vodka, not the Holy Spirit, I would pray to God. Can you believe that? That's how ignorant I was. Men perish for lack of knowledge. But still, I had a yearning for God, and I didn't even know that I was sinning. Isn't that pathetic? What was I cheating myself out of? Now I get to enjoy the fullness of the Holy Spirit that brings a little bit of drunkenness on you sometime when you just get so full of him that you don't want anything else. And he just takes all the worry, anxiety, and fear that's been haunting you away. That's the kind of high you want from the Most High. Because there is no high like the Most High. Okay? So as you do this, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to ask God to reveal certain areas of your life. You know the reasons why you're here, but you're going to be surprised at the things he reveals. And later tonight, read some of the testimonies at the front from the seminars. We've done these seminars before, and people just get so blessed. Page 9. See, the lies that you believed are contrary to the word of God. And these are questions that I ask to prompt you. There's many, many more questions, but these are just a few that came to mind with different areas that will prompt you to deal with all of your being, body, soul, and spirit. Do you see yourself as fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you see yourself as pure sexually, virtuous morally, and washed in the blood of Jesus? See, these questions are going to cause you not only to deal with now, but the past. Okay? Do you see yourself prospering in all that you put your hand to, educationally, socially, professionally, and spiritually? Do you feel worthy of being healed by God? Okay? An example of how to do this worksheet. If you don't feel worthy and you think, well, I'm really not worthy. I could never do that job. Even though that's been what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted a degree. I'm just too shy. Well, there's a reason. Because God says in his word that he gives us the fruits of the Spirit. You might say, well, I could never minister in that area because I just can't control my eating. I'm fat. My mama was fat. My grandmama was fat. I'm always going to be fat. Well, that ain't what the Holy Spirit says. The Lord says the Holy Spirit who dwells in us gives us the fruits, and one of them is self-control. See, there's subtle things that we start to believe and write that lie down. Bring it into reality and then replace it. The Lord says he's given you the fruit of self-control. He's not a God that he should lie. He hadn't changed. We have. And you're going to see, the reason this is important, like I said before, it takes you from victimization into victory. Because if we believe that it's always going to be that way, we can come down here and say, God, please, Pastor Ron, deliver me from overeating. Deliver me from gluttony, a spirit of gluttony. But if we hadn't dealt with the truth that's written on our heart or something that was spoken over you, a lot of these lies were spoken over you, by the way. You need to write them down. A lot of you were abused and had curses, really, is what they were, spoken over you. Because out of our mouths, we speak blessings and curses. If somebody said, you are always going to be fat. I'm sorry, your mother was, your grandma. Write it down. Oh, you can't do anything. You're never going to amount to nothing. You know, how many, I've heard that from so many people, spoken to them by their parents. Now, maybe you're a parent and you spoke that because it was spoken to you. What we got to do is we got to break the cycle. Write it down. If you've spoken something like that, write it down too. Let's get it all clean. And let's make repentance upline with ancestors and downline with children. Let's get it all clean because your whole house is what God has come for salvation, to give your entire house salvation, household salvation. That's a jubilee. Household. He wants your entire bloodline clean, okay? And you can do it because you have the authority, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you. So don't defeat yourself before you even get out of the gate. The enemy will try and separate you and paralyze your mind and you just kind of give up. That's his tactic from way back. That's why we're doing 3 sessions here. Okay? Because once you start hearing the testimonies of what God's doing, your faith is going to increase. Because the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when you don't testify, when you don't tell people you're saved, you're not overcoming. You're hiding secret sins. You're hiding shame. You're letting the enemy take ground in your life. One of the things I tell people when I lead them to the Lord, I say, go tell as many people as you can. Tell them. Tell them. Don't put a light under a bowl. Oh, no. No, no, no. That's part of the way they overcome and become strong in the Lord. And a lot of times, have you ever been speaking and the Holy Spirit starts speaking through you and you learn something from what you said? I have. If you yield to him enough, he'll teach you even while you're talking. And it'll line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't, you need to correct it. It will, though. If you're really seeking the Lord, He's going to cause you to speak the truth. Okay. I'm going to let y'all go through the rest of those questions. And at the bottom on page 9, I write down here, see, the core of the root issue is receiving the unconditional love of God. That's the foundation that we must grow from. And all of the trauma, the heartaches, everything that has hurt us, it stems back to understanding this foundational issue, okay? Put aside these situational issues. Go ahead and write down the lies, because we're going to deal with them. But it gets down to this. When you write it down, do you feel loved unconditionally by God, your parents, your spouse, your pastors, your church, your friends, your children? Well, if you don't feel loved unconditionally by God, it's real hard to allow anybody to be close to you or intimate with you, because you don't have the confidence of knowing, no matter what you say or do, you're going to be accepted into the beloved. And that's a hard thing to do, is try and live under that lie that God doesn't really love you and that you could do something to cause Him to leave you. Now, if you continued in that lifestyle and decided you didn't want Him in your life, He would go. That's not what I'm saying. You're not going to lose your salvation like you would lose a coin out of your pocket. If you screw up, He is there to catch you. He has a love for you that is so deep, there's nothing you could do to cause Him to turn His back on you. In fact, He is just waiting for you to give all facets of your life and your heart to Him. The really tattered places, the real torn places, you've got to present them to Him for Him to do the surgery. You must yield. I mean, we can go to our grave with little pet secret sins, thinking that we know better than God, but it's a much better way to give them to Him, even if it's not a conscious sin. Even if it's just a dark area that you thought, well, I guess I got to live with this. Sometimes we live with, really it's mind control, but shadows of the mind that we never really have the mind of Christ, because we've allowed events from the past and things passed down to occupy those places in our mind. So we could never fully give ourselves to God. And God wants to get everything dealt with, your mind, your body, all facets of your being. And that's why we ask this question. Do you believe love should hurt? I have a neat, really heartbreaking, but also one of the most glorious stories to tell you. I grew up in Wingate, North Carolina, small little rural suburban town. Everybody loved each other. Grew up at Wingate Baptist Church, one of the most loving churches in the world. Man, they loved you so much you could be living in sin. They still loving you, thinking you're all that. They really do have love there. there were some things, though, that needed correcting, you know, and God had to do a work. But I learned to love at that church. I really learned to love people because of the way they loved us, okay? And so my point is, I grew up by some neighbors. We didn't play together all the time because we had pastors around my house, and they weren't really close. But one of the gals, they lived up on the hill, and they went to a very charismatic Pentecostal church, and I didn't know that then. But I interviewed the daughter on my show, and she had been molested by her father for 16 years. Now, the horrendous things that this child went through and still served God were unbelievable. But she testified as a healed up, spirit-filled, born-again, powerful minister of the gospel. Now, we grew up beside each other, and I never knew this was happening. And you know, the enemy didn't want it exposed, but she got on that television show, and she blew the socks off the enemy. And she is ordained by two denominations. She and her husband minister side by side. They have homeschooled their kids, and their kids are now graduated high school, serve the Lord. They are pure sexually. They serve the God with their whole being. And she talked about how she had to put down, and they do deliverance too, how she had to put down the things of the enemy, how he tried to put boogers in her mind, and how she thought at times that her father was coming to get her daughter. When she held her baby in her arms, she would sit there and rock by the window half the night, afraid he was going to come get her. That's having to possess your land. When you endure that kind of abuse, kicking the ites out of the land is not overnight. You must put into it. You must fight. You must put the time into it. You are worth it. Your life is worth it. And if you don't think you are, aren't your children? You are. God died for you to be free from all this, okay? Now, salvation is an immediate gift. The work has already been done for these ites to be kicked out. But some of us have just said, okay, I'm going to have to live with that. And they never really get to enjoy the fullness of everything God put in their lives to enjoy under the power of the Holy Spirit, with no mind demons, no boogers haunting them everywhere they go. She finally has got to a place she don't worry about that stuff anymore. Her daughter's 18, how old is that, April? 18, 19? 19 years old now. Serves the Lord. Oh, it is wonderful, the story. But she told me, she said, there were times when she and her husband first got married that she would be in fetal position and crying, and he would have to pull her out of fetal position. Can you imagine how hard it was to give and receive love, having gone through all that? I mean, God healed her up, and now, you better look out, that couple ministers. They do. And, you know, there's some other testimonies here, aren't there, Karen and Phil, that y'all are going to hear at the conference tomorrow where God has done similar works. And I tell you what, to see it in operation, you don't have to be doubting Thomas. You can believe it without seeing it. But when you hear the testimonies of overcoming, man, it is sweet what God can do. There are things, I want you to ask God tonight, there are things you're living with that you don't have to. He can give you the power. He has given you the power, but he can give you the revelation to write it down as the lie and overcome it. So right now, I just want to ask, the team to come up and line up across here. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Father God. You've made a way. You've made a way to meet some needs here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you desire to meet the people now. God is showing me you are coming up. Envision yourself. Everybody just bow your head and stand up. Now, I want you to think. Let the Lord bring up to your heart and your mind things that you really don't want to walk out of the church tonight with. Things you really, really want to lay down at the altar. I want you to ask him what some of those are. And I want you to symbolically, and this is spiritually done, come and lay it down at the altar. Make a public triumph over the devil. Stand up and say, I am taking back this part of my heart, and I don't care who sees. Do you want to be free? Come on down. You may come and you may stand in front of somebody. If you want to just come to the altar yourself and just kneel, this is between you and God. If you want somebody to agree with you, these people are trained and well-equipped to pray with you. To pray with you. Come on down now. Let the Lord begin to lay things down. He does not want you walking out of here with a Santa Claus bag of troubles. See yourself with that big old bag, taking it up to Calvary, to the hill, laying it down at the cross. Let him take it all. He says, come to me, for my burden is easy. My yoke is light. God wants to take that burden. Do not leave here with it. In the name of Jesus.